Matt, burning question to kick, we're going right in hard here. 2007, you were awarded the Gatorade National Player of the Year. Do you get free? Oh, and the Gatorade National Male Athlete of the Year. Do you get free Gatorade for life? I need to know.
Unfortunately, that was before high school NIL deals were a thing,
Oh,
and I
right.
did not reap the benefits of that time period. And so I maybe got one bottle. I think it was that was about it, but no long-term Gatorade deal out of that one. That was, oh man, you brought that back from the past. I haven't thought about that in a while.
That man, it's crazy. Do they give this Gatorade now? Give like free Gatorade? Like, because I guess you weren't allowed to probably back then, right?
I'm not sure how that works out now
Yeah.
with that award. And I do
Yeah.
remember we were able to go to the ESPYs, which were so cool.
That's cool.
And it was actually that. So that was, yeah, 07. And then we went to the ESPYs that following, what's it in the spring? So it would have been 08, I guess.
Yeah.
I think, yeah,
It's
or
July
maybe
is the
07. But anyways, it was the year where the Pats actually went undefeated for the whole season.
Cool.
And I was low key a Pats fan growing up, just loving Tom and looking up to him as a quarterback.
Awesome.
And I was dying because the whole Giants team got up on stage to accept an ESPY that year. And
Yeah.
they ripped the Patriots the whole time. And I'm just like a little high schooler sitting in that chair, like
Ooh.
Ronaldo's in front of me, Will Ferrell's up there doing skits. And I'm like, oh no, this is the worst. But it was a cool experience. We did get to do that.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that was a tough year as a Pats fan to swallow. A great year, but a tough year. But so, as a junior in high school, you took home several awards, and you were just like you were top of the game. Like, how did you manage to stay so like grounded, deal with the hype, not already like in high school feel like you were like ready for college?
I feel like the program I was at Modern Day, which has produced a lot of great talent even before I was there and since I left. I mean, they've had Heisman Trophy winners and multiple national championships in the last decade. And that program, which I believe, so it's easy to argue, Southern California high school football is some of the best in the country, without a doubt. And so the level we were playing at, the scale we were on, definitely, I think, prepared me for D1 football, and especially living in LA. It also helped, I think, the fact that I was a USC fan growing up and saw the heyday with the Pete Carroll years, where you had Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, a packed Coliseum and
Yeah.
national championships, again, Heisman Trophy winners, and all these, like that set the bar high in my mind. And so as a recruit going to those games, I think I just had in my mind, like, that's what football is and that's what it should be. So when I got to that stage in college, and even in high school, just knowing that there's bigger fish in the sea. That's one thing my dad kind of always taught me kind of through the years, from like Little League to, Pop Warner to high school through middle school and all that stuff. He's like, there's always, at first I was like in a little fishbowl. I was a fish. Then maybe you're in a fish tank and there's some bigger fish. Then you graduate to like a pond, right? And there might be some bigger fish in that pond. It's like ultimately you're going to end up in the ocean. And there's going to be some
Yeah.
big fish in that ocean. So just because you're the biggest fish in your little tank right now, don't think that there's not other big fish out there. And so that kind of helped give perspective too on, yeah, I might be doing well right now and in my little circle, but that's not the end goal of this whole thing, you know?
That's great advice from your dad, who I saw is a USC water polo player back in the 70s.
Yeah, the whole Speedo thing didn't really work out for me. I tried
Yeah.
it as best I could. It's actually a brutal sport. I don't know if
I
you've
was
ever
gonna
played.
say that I've seen it in person. It's crazy.
It's you just feel like you're drowning, and anytime you want a break, I had to like just sink and catch my breath and then just come up for air frantic. Did not last. So he actually never played football, so I think one of the benefits of having him as my father, he knew what it takes. He was a long distance swimmer and a water polo player. So he knew the dedication and the work that it took to achieve
Yeah.
greatness. He was a two-time All-American in college. So he understood what it takes to reach your goals. And so he instilled those in me rather than, I don't know, I see some of these dads these days like kind of burning their kids out, right? With like
Yeah.
performance and football 24/7, all this stuff. But I'm grateful for his perspective on, training hard and, the things outside of just numbers.
Yeah. Well, you talk about the Coliseum, and I see you light up when you talk about it. First ever true freshman to start, in an opener for, as a quarterback for the Trojans. What was it like running out for that first game?
It's a dream come true. It really was. And yeah, it was versus San Jose State. I'll never forget it. I had just won the starting competition a few weeks prior, and it was a I was living the dream. And to be able to represent USC and wear the Cardinal in gold, which, there's just some things in life that just get you fired up. Putting those colors on is one of those things. They still it's just it's I'm proud to be a Trojan, and the fact that I got to do that and finally live out that dream and get that career started, that first game was something very special to me.
That's awesome. Well, going to the NFL, Cali kid, you're in the you just mentioned it snowed in Buffalo last week. So how are you surviving in Buffalo? The cold, is it it's a far cry.
Yeah, I've adapted, and I've played in a lot of different environments now. I mentioned the Patriots earlier. I grew up going to the East Coast, to Northwest Massachusetts. My grandparents had a house there, so pretty much every Christmas we'd have white Christmases. So I grew up in the snow, grew up in cold environments. I played in Chicago even, and that was probably one of the
Yeah.
coldest cities I've played in. And Buffalo just gets a lot of rain, a lot of snow because it's right by the lake, with all that lake effect storms that they have. But I think in any situation you're in, you can find an excuse to dismiss poor performance or whatever, but you have to find a way to overcome and adapt to whatever situation in, and whether that's changing your arm angle to throw in the snow or in the rain or the wind or whatever it is, you just gotta learn to adapt.
Yeah, I think to your NFL career so far, and to me, it's like you're the kind of guy. It's like you do whatever it takes to help the team win. Drafted Philly in the fourth round, and really, like, you're competing against Nick Foles and Michael Vick, and like, how do you shift your mindset, right? Like coming from USC to like you're the king of the world to the NFL, and changing that perspective of like, all right, I'm in it now just to do whatever it takes to like help the team win. Not to say you didn't have that before, but like, what was your mind shift?
It was a very big mind shift for me. It's a good question because my whole career up until that point, I had started every game I'd ever played in. From the first day I started playing football, I was the starting quarterback in every game I suited up for. And so getting drafted to a team where there was a veteran starter, Hall of Famer, arguably, in Michael Vick, and then Nick Foles, who was a friend at the time because we played against each other in the Pac-12 and ends up, being a Super Bowl MVP. We had a great room of talent and guys I looked up to, but I barely got any reps and I had to retrain almost my way of learning from a first person point of view under center to now my reps that I was getting were from watching practice, from watching more film and trying to visually take mental reps as opposed to getting those first person reps. So it was a tough period for me to adjust to that and get used to learning that way and still kind of reminding myself that I do have an impact on this team. I'm not just there wearing a jersey, but I can still have an impact in how I interact with my teammates, how I encourage them, my input in the game plan, right? And how I'm helping the coaches or the starting quarterback. And so it kind of has helped me, I think, up until this point. I mean, I've been predominantly a backup my whole career, but those first couple of years in Philly really helped shape my viewpoint on that, to see that I could still have an impact and it could still be important to help the team out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, as busy and light you have going on the field, let's jump off the field. I mean, it's awesome. There's just like I don't know where to start here, but it seems like most recently you just announced the creation of House of Victory NIL Collective. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's exciting. And you mentioned the Gatorade deal earlier.
Yeah.
It's almost pains me to think about what could have been if this had been around 15,
Right.
20 years ago, where we could capitalize on our name, image, and likeness. And so it's kind of taken the college space by storm the last couple of years with the changes in that the NCAA has made. And I think it's all for the better. And especially with letting athletes just capitalize on on their own branding and what they've built. I mean, it's essentially a full-time job being a college athlete, where you're not like a normal student where you can go get all these internships or kind of work on your career path while you're in school. And so to be able, again, to capitalize and maximize your potential as a student athlete in this era, I think is absolutely necessary. And so what we've created at USC is a collective. It's the first one that's officially, it's got the blue check mark in a sense from USC, where they've gone through the verification process. They have the rights to intellectual property. They're the only NIL partnership that can even present Cardinal and Gold on all their branding. And it's predominantly, it's all alumni and a lot of former athletes that are involved in it. And so being a 501c3 is, I think, really a unique aspect that sets it apart too from other NIL projects that you see going on other campuses and in different programs, where the sole intent of what we're doing is to help the different programs at USC succeed in any way they can. And there's no ulterior motives. There's not, you know, shady deals going on behind closed doors. It's the people that are involved want to see USC compete at the highest level, right? Especially with the integration of the Big Ten coming soon for, especially for basketball and football, it's going to be a step up in competition, I believe. And so there are a lot of Trojans that just want to see us get the best recruits and maintain that high level. So again, with the corporate sponsorship aspect with USC, it allows us to do that branding and to bring money to student athletes in ways that was not possible before.
Awesome, man. I mean, you, as we just said, right? Like, you experienced it from the other side. So who better to kind of be involved in that? So you have a lot of other stuff going on. So I was kind of picking and choosing here, but you know, looking at your Twitter, right? You have those crypto red eyes or the Bitcoin mafia. Talk to us about, you know, just like cryptocurrency. I want to start with, you know, because the last like 24 hours, the market's kind of gone down a little bit. What's your high level take on the state of cryptocurrency?
You want my take on crypto or Bitcoin? I believe they're two different things.
Okay. Let's go there. Why do you believe, like, talk to me about that.
I think Bitcoin is set apart as a entire different entity. And it is the king on the hill. And Bitcoin's here to stay. The way it was written in the white paper, I think, completely shifted cryptocurrency as a whole. And it is unique in a lot of different areas from other projects. Yeah, there are faster coins. There are, you know, different privacy coins. There's a lot going on in the quote crypto space as a whole. But I think Bitcoin, in how it is, you know, provides a sense of sovereignty over your finances, over your wealth, that is foreign to almost everyone in the world. I mean, people think that their money in a bank is theirs. That's simply not true. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but.
Well, we've learned that more recently. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. With the SVB collapse and everything else, there's been a lot going on. And so I'm a long-term believer in Bitcoin. I have, again, my sights set, in the future, many years from now. And so I have diamond hands, I'm holding on. And I think it's easy to get caught up in the headlines of all these altcoins that are crashing and burning, or, you know, the Dogecoin news that you just ride the pump and all that stuff. I take emotion out of it, and I believe in the fundamentals. And I know that is transformational for a lot of people. It, you know, it's hard for Americans to kind of comprehend, but when you lose access to your bank account and you have no funds to do anything with, it's happened in countries around the world, Venezuela, Lebanon, you know, other places. It's hard for us to comprehend that, but at the end of the day, it's a way to have complete control over your assets.
All right. Do you guys mind if we pause so I can go buy some more Bitcoin? But I'm a believer. Bitcoin, been Ethereum for years now. So like,
yep.
I'm all in. So you have a crypto a podcast or a Bitcoin Making Bread crypto podcast?
I did. Yeah, I did that last year as a fun project to just dive into NFTs more. And NFTs are a whole different world as well, which have a lot of real world application beyond again, what makes headlines in like the CryptoPunks and the Bored Apes and the kind of JPEG or profile picture type of artwork, right? Those are all really cool and they have a lot of utility. But I think when you start thinking of putting even like real estate on the blockchain or as NFTs, or even healthcare and doing different projects that really make a difference in people's life that are open and not biased and have no restrictions, to where human, you know, biased and greed can get in the way, then that can make life better for a lot of people. But, Making Bread was a fun little project last year. I'm not doing that again this year, but we'll see what's in store for anything like that in the future. Yeah.
Well, Celsius Energy Drink, BYLT Clothing. And then you're also on Cameo. So people have to come if they want a message from you or all that. Like I've seen a lot of friends, you know, there are people use that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cameo is a fun way to interact with fans. Just seeing, especially, I think it kind of took off for me being on the Bills and this, the Bills Mafia, how fanatic they are for the players, for the fans. It's one big family. It's incredible. And so that's just a fun way to interact. And, but yeah, like the Celsius stuff, the Built Basics, I've always kind of just gravitated towards brands that I just use all the time. And it makes sense to kind of rep those. And there's other stuff that I'm involved in, but that I am fully behind. You'll never see me kind of post a random thing or do something just for a check. If you see me doing it, I'm either using it and vouching for it.
I love it. Well, you are a man who's always supported the community. I saw you were involved with Sail Future Foundation and then My Paws, My Cleats for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Like, how can we as a community here at Plainfield support you?
Yeah. So, well, one thing is, if you are a Trojan supporter, listening to this, the House of Victory is a very cool way to get involved. And there's different ways, whether you want to help out financially to help student athletes, or if you are a brand or a business that wants to get involved in, getting athletes signed on, that is an option. And in terms of the service work, I would say, FCA is a big organization that's close to my heart, because as an athlete, I know that we have a huge platform where, not only kids, but people just look up to you, and you have a responsibility to do the right thing and to be a great example. And so that is an outlet to be able to minister and really just raise up kind of these next generations of kids, right, who look up to you to help them do the right thing. And so I guess give to that, but whatever's in your heart. I'm not doing a big ask here or asking for anything in particular.
All good. I've been thinking a lot about balance, right? I got two little ones, and I've seen, you have three beautiful little ones as well. And so you have a football career, work-life balance, all these businesses. You're on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast. Like, how do you find balance? And like, when you are finding balance, is it, a game of USC football? Is it, a golf, maybe a cigar? What balance for you?
Yeah. So in terms of parenting, at least, I've found that when I am present, to be so intentional, it's almost over the top. And I can remember, I mentioned my dad earlier, but he did international business when I was a kid. And so he was gone on trips overseas quite often. But when he was home, that's all I remember as a kid, of how present he was, how intentional he was, whether it was even just playing catch or playing chess or teaching us life. Like, he was so dialed in that the times when he was away didn't even make a mark on my memory bank. And so it is tough, like this time of year when my kids are getting older and I'm back and forth across the country for OTAs and I'm gone in season. I wake up before they're awake and I'm coming home for an hour of dinner and then they go to bed. Those are kind of hard seasons. Luckily, my wife is the champ and she's holding down the fort, but being intentional when I am with them and maximizing my time, not on my phone around them, right? That's just wasted time around your kids, because they're making memories and they're looking up to you. They're watching everything you do. So making sure that I'm deliberate with how I'm parenting and how I'm caring for my wife and being a good husband, that all I think sets a great foundation for just keeping things in balance and keeping football on the field, not bringing it home. And yeah, I'll enjoy a cigar out by the fire pit every once in a while, or some reposado or extra añejo. But I think focusing on what matters first and making sure that you have that foundation built will help you carry you through any turbulent times.
Awesome. Matt, super impressive. And now that maybe Tom's retired, I can maybe like Buffalo or kind of cheer for them a little bit, but no,
say
it's
it. You can say it. You can say
all
it.
All right, go Buffalo. I'm ready to go like jump on a table and break it in half for, you know, with the guys there. But man, I really appreciate the time today and fun to hear all you have going on. And best of luck this off season, upcoming season.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, man.